Well, it's been a quiet week on Owens Boulevard in North Richardson this week. We were up in Maryland Monday to Wednesday on a conference for seniors. Had a wonderful time. Just the response was just excellent. Just a lot of love and laughter and just a good time. I spoke four times and then had a one-hour question and answer time. Very intense one-hour question and answer time. And it was just a good time. The session started Monday night and then Tuesday and then Wednesday morning. So all that was squeezed in that time. So it was an intense time. We came back rather tired, but it was just great. And we also are still in the process of staging our house. Staging is the right word to use. They stage everything is fake. But we should have the house on the market this week. So praise God, we're looking forward to getting that all done. Well, a joke. A drunk man who smelled like beer sat down in a subway seat next to a priest. The man's tie was stained, his face was plastered with red lipstick, and a half-empty bottle of gin was sticking out of his torn coat pocket. He opened his newspaper and began reading. After a few minutes, the man turned to the priest and said, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest replied, "My son, it is caused by loose living, being with cheap, wicked women, and too much alcohol, and a contempt for your fellow man, sleeping around with prostitutes, and a lack of bath." "Well, I'll be," the drunk muttered, returning to his paper. The priest, thinking about what he had said, nudged the man and apologized. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to come on so strong. How long have you had arthritis?" "Oh, I don't have it, Father. I was just reading here that the Pope does." Doesn't have a thing to do with what we're going to talk about this morning. Well, as you can tell, we have no outlines this morning. That's because we are just taking a break from our study on Matthew. And since this is Thanksgiving season, I would like to have a devotional on Thanksgiving. In 4 days, we'll be observing Thanksgiving, which is as traditional American as baseball and apple pie. There's a certain nostalgia and a feeling that you get when you're involved with your family at Thanksgiving. Lydia Maria Child, who died in 1880, wrote a poem entitled Thanksgiving Day. You know it well. Here's what it says. "Over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood. Oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the wood to have a first-rate play. Hear the bells ring, tingling ding, hurrah for Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood, trot fast, my dapple gray. Spring over the ground like a hunting hound, for this is Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood, and straight through the barnyard gate. We seem to go extremely slow. It's so hard to wait. Over the river and through the wood, now grandmother's cap I spy. Hurrah for the fun. Is the pudding done? Hurrah for the pumpkin pie." Now that catches kind of the flavor of a family Thanksgiving Day. But when you think about it, that's awfully shallow. Thanksgiving Day is wonderful. I love Thanksgiving Day. But obviously there's much more to Thanksgiving Day than pumpkin pie and turkey. Sitting down at a banquet table freighted down with food, and the centerpiece a roasted turkey. Somebody said, "Thanksgiving is when one species ceases to gobble and another begins." And that's true. Now, there are many reasons why we should be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Many. It would be interesting just to go around the class and say, why are you thankful this Thanksgiving Day? And I'd like to present just three quick reasons. There are many, but just three. Obviously, one reason we should be thankful is because of our blessings. We have many, many blessings, and we should be thankful for them. In fact, that's the historic basis for Thanksgiving. You will recall that the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock in 1620. They set their anchor in the bay on December 21, 1620, and then they wrote the Mayflower Pact, and because there had been conflict on board the ship, and they signed that pact, and then after a few days, they went on shore. That first winter was devastating. It was cold. They were not prepared for the elements. They landed north of where they anticipated landing. And there were 110 pilgrims. 50 were left in the spring. That many died. More than half died. Well, interestingly, the Indians helped them to plant corn and to plant crops and taught them how to hunt some of the things that were there. And by fall, they had an abundant crop. And so it was in December, and there's the debate about the exact date. In December, they had a three-day feast. They invited the Indians to participate, and they just rejoiced in God's blessing. I've learned as I studied this a bit more that there's debate about when the actual first Thanksgiving was. That's the traditional date. But we're told there was one way back in 1565 at St. Augustine, Florida. They had a time of Thanksgiving, but that's debated. The one that we look back to is the one on Pilgrim's Day. It's amazing that it was not until 1817, almost 200 years later, that New York State declared Thanksgiving Day as a holiday. It was in 1863, in the middle of that bloody Civil War, that Abraham Lincoln declared the fourth Thursday of the month of November to be a time of Thanksgiving. It was not until 1941 that the Congress made this to be a national holiday. Obviously, we observed it before then, but it was declared to be a national holiday in 1941, the fourth Thursday. Remember 1941? December 7th? In just a few days, Pearl Harbor. But ever since then, we've been observing as a national holiday the fourth Thursday, or the last Thursday, I should say, not say the fourth, the last Thursday of November as a holiday. We should be thankful just because of all the blessings that God has given to us. In fact, when you think of it, everything good that we have is a gift. 1 Corinthians 4:7 has a very interesting passage. It says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" T-A-I. Think about it. Everything good that you have has been given to you. Wait a minute. I worked for this business. I started on a shoestring. We lived like paupers. We worked 17 hours a day and finally got this business going, and now it's successful. How can you say it was given to us? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the opportunity? Just think of the opportunity. There are people that are smarter than you are, or smarter than I am by far. There are people who have more ability than we do. And they don't have the success you have done, that you've had financially. And one reason is opportunity. As I look at Dallas Seminary, I'm amazed that I'm teaching there. I really am. Because there are people that are far more intelligent. There are people that are much more gifted than I. And it was just God's grace that I was given the opportunity. And so we give thanks because God has given us these things. In fact, James 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. It's one of the difficult things, as you know, to teach kids to say thank you. You give the child something, and that child becomes so mesmerized and occupied with the gift, they forget to look up and say, thank you. You know what we have to say? What's the magic word? What do you say now? You know, you have to encourage them to say, thank you. Some of you may remember Fulton J. Sheen, the Roman Catholic cleric who had a television program way back in the days of black and white television. He had wonderful things to say. It was a very well-produced program. It was interesting to listen to and very stimulating. Here's what he said. A very interesting phenomenon in children is that gratitude or thankfulness comes relatively late in their young lives. They almost have to be taught it. If not, they are apt to grow up thinking that the world owes them a living. Oofta. That's exactly where we are today. This present generation is called the entitlement generation. We are entitled to new houses. We're entitled to cars. We're entitled to health care. We're entitled to, and so on. We're entitled to this. The world owes us a living. Perhaps it's because children have not been taught to say thank you. In fact, Thanksgiving is so important that there were professional thanksgivers in the Old Testament. Did you know that? They were professional thanksgivers. Let me read Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 8. The Levites were Jeshua, Benui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah. Mattaniah, now get that name, who was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, he and his brothers. Chapter 11, verse 17. And Mattaniah, the same man, Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, who was the leader in beginning the thanksgiving at prayer. Isn't that interesting? He was a Levite. That was his job, to give thanksgiving. Once again, chapter 12, and verse 46. For in the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. Now, I don't know if that was their full-time job or not. I get the impression that they had other responsibilities. They were Levites. They had other responsibilities. But one of the responsibilities was just to give thanks to God. They were professionals. Can you imagine that? Professional thanksgivers. Wouldn't it be great if we'd hire somebody on the staff? No, I'm teasing you. But to give thanks to God and to lead the people in thanksgiving. The first reason why we should give thanks is because of all the blessings we have. In fact, it's almost inane and stupid. We sit at this table with all this food, and you know what we say? We should be more thankful. Well, great honk, stone the crows and starve the lizards. The poorest person in this class is wealthy compared to millions of people in the United States. One of the benefits of going to a third world country is your appreciation for the United States of America. And why should we be thankful? Because of our blessings. Number two, why should we be thankful? Because God commanded it. Let me read just some Psalms. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, or give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. On and on and on, verse after verse. The command is to give thanks. Oh, wait. That's Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament, we're New Testament. Well, you have commands in the New Testament as well. One you know very well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. You want to know God's will for your life? One of the aspects of God's will for your life is giving thanks in all things. I don't care how bad the circumstances are. It could be worse. So no matter what they are, you can give thanks in them. If you have an automobile collision, you say, oh, thankfully the car wasn't totaled. What if the car is totaled? Oh, thankfully nobody was hurt. If somebody's hurt, oh, thankfully nobody was killed. If somebody's killed, well, thankfully more people weren't killed. You give thanks just because of the blessings that you have in the circumstances. It reminds me of the airplane pilot who was telling his experience of flying a two-engine airplane. He said, I was flying along and the starboard engine went out. Oh, that was bad, the listener said. No, that was okay, the pilot said he would fly on one engine. Oh, that was good. No, the port side engine went out also. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay, I had a parachute. Oh, that was good. No, that was bad. The parachute didn't open. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay. I had a spare parachute. Oh, that was good. No, that was bad. It didn't open either. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay. There was a haystack under me. Oh, that was good. No, that was bad. There was a pitchfork on that haystack. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay. I missed the pitchfork. Oh, that was good. No, that was bad. I missed the haystack also. Oh, that was bad. There was a lake by that haystack. Oh, that was good. No, that was bad. That was bad. There's a big boulder in that lake. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay. I missed the boulder. Oh, that was good. No, that's bad. I can't swim. Oh, that was bad. No, that was okay. There's a person on the shore with a life saver. On and on the story goes. Ad infinitum. And the point is, in everything you can give thanks. So why should we give thanks? Because God commanded it. In fact, in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the writer to the Hebrews says, we are priests. Every believer in this room is a priest. And we offer up praise, the fruit of our lips, thanksgiving to God. So that when you thank God on Thanksgiving Day, when you thank God on any day, you're serving as a priest, offering up the incense of praise to God. The third reason we should give praise is because of God's sovereignty. Ladies and gentlemen, for many people, Thanksgiving and Christmas are the most miserable days of the year. There's an empty chair at the table. They've lost somebody that year, or maybe in the last couple of years. It's possible there's been a divorce, and they've lost their spouse by divorce. It's possible that the children are in rebellion, giving you one heartache after another. It's possible you've suffered financial reverses, severe reverses. This can be a terrible time of the year. It's a horrible time of the year. What do you do on Thanksgiving Day? You still give thanksgiving. You still have thanksgiving because of God's sovereignty. The best illustration I can think of this is the prophecy of Habakkuk. Habakkuk constantly was complaining to God. The first complaint was, God, why don't you do something about the corruption in our nation? Violence is everywhere. There's no justice. Why don't you do something about our nation, Israel? And then there's an answer by God. God's answer is, lift up your eyes and look upon the nations. I'm going to work a work in your days that you won't believe it, though it be told you. I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation. They're going to sweep over you. They're going to take captives like sand. You won't have a chance. Wait a minute. Now, then there's a second complaint by Habakkuk. God, that's not fair. We're bad, but they're worse than we are. Why are you using the Babylonians of all people to judge us? They're like fishermen who worship their hooks, who worship their instruments. When they defeat us, they won't worship you. They'll just worship their instruments of warfare. That's not fair. And then there's a second answer by God. God says, Habakkuk, I've got a plan. The person who's proud, that person, his soul is not right with me. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. What he is saying is, I've got a plan. You don't know the ins and outs of it. Though it tarry, wait for it. You don't know the timing of it. Just trust me. Just trust me. Well, you have a complaint, an answer by God, a second complaint, a second answer by God. And then the fifth part of the book, the last part of the book, is chapter 3. And chapter 3 rehearses what God has done in past with Israel. I take it that it's also rehearsing what God is going to do. And then Habakkuk says, when I heard the message, my belly trembled. I just shivered. Rottenness entered my bones. Though the fig tree will not blossom, though the labor of the olive shall fail, though there should be no food in the stalls, though there should be utter desolation, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's a fantastic passage. Habakkuk had learned the just shall live by faith. Even though everything goes to pot. So everything becomes a Hades on earth. Still, we rejoice in the God of our salvation. I think what happens is this. When we're reduced to nothing, there's nothing, nothing. All we have left is God. We're to the point we have nothing but God. And when a person is reduced to that, there's a certain joy. There's a joy. I've talked to people who have gone through horrible circumstances, and they had nothing. Absolutely, they didn't have anything. And they just turned to God, and they rejoiced in God because of his sovereignty. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, some of you may be going through a horrible time. Just trust in the Lord. Cling to him and trust him. And I think you'll find joy in this Thanksgiving Day. So there are three reasons to give thanks. The first is because of our blessings. The second is because God commanded us to give thanks. The third reason is because of his sovereignty. Now, interestingly, there's still another reason why we should give thanks. It's found in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we have the longest section on giving in the whole Bible. It's the greatest portion of on the subject of giving money that you have in the whole of the Scriptures, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And the climax is the last verse of verse 9, of chapter 9. Chapter 9 concludes with, "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift." In the midst of talking about money, the thing that we should be most thankful for of all things is the gift of Jesus Christ that God gave to us. Because he gave us in Jesus Christ the gift of eternal life, free, without cost, just by simply trusting in the Lord Jesus. And when we trust in him, there's forgiveness of sins, a whole new life with God. And we exclaim with Paul, "Thanks be to God for a gift we cannot describe, the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this Thanksgiving season, and you have blessed us so immeasurably. And we thank you for the spirit of obedience in giving thanks to you in all things. And our Father, we thank you in the midst of difficulties for your sovereign grace. And we just rest in you. We trust in you, Father, despite how difficult things are. And I know there are people who are going through very difficult things right now. And we pray for them in this Thanksgiving season. We pray especially for the loved ones of Kirby Edwards, who just passed away this last week. We pray that those who do not know Christ in that family may come to know Christ, and that those who know your son, we pray that they may be comforted. We trust you for your blessing for many others in this class. We could go on praying for many more. So we trust you for your blessings in this Thanksgiving season. Watch over us, protect us from harm and accident and sickness, and give us a good time together with our families and our loved ones and our friends. In Jesus' name.